Welcome, everybody, to the WJBM Outdoor Radio Show. I am Aaron Quillen, operator of Monarch Rivers. With me today, I have Levi York, a.k.a. Moose, and the co-world catfishing champion of the world, the Kyle Newhouse.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for being here. So, funny enough, you know, for the listeners, I grew up in Michigan.
Yes.
And came down here hunting whitetail a long time ago. Well, we are out in, we are in the Great Lakes, and it's Lake Huron, and we're trolling, and I caught a nice flathead, and they threw it, like, the guy that I was with, buddy of mine, Mike, he's like, threw it back before I could say anything. I was like, what are you doing?
That's good eating, brother.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, you,
well, what
that's
was
blasphemous.
He doing?
He wanted walleye.
Yeah.
He didn't even give the catfish respect. And I was like, in the world?
And out of all the catfish,
here?
The flathead is the most sought after. If you're going to fry it up, it's just a whole other texture, which a lot of people know. But it is. All catfish is delicious. Don't get me wrong.
Flathead's going to be your best tasting, I believe. And I've heard people actually compare walleye, flathead, crappie be like their favorite, you know, freshwater fish.
Yeah.
I would agree. I've never had walleye, but crappie. I caught three out of the river. What was that, Wednesday?
Yeah. Crappie get eaten, of course,
delicious.
You're just not getting a lot off of them, which is, you know, why we like catfishing a lot as well, because we clean a lot of the fish, and it's like, well, rather than cleaning 60, I could clean 4.
Right.
But also, you guys, when you catch a big one, I think probably more Kyle than Moose, but when you catch a big one, you throw it back.
Right. Oh, for
tell
sure,
the guys,
yeah.
Tell the listeners about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, anything normally, if you get anything up to 15 pounds, normally you're throwing it back or whatever, you know, but it'd be, because the bigger ones are going to be your breeders, you know, and you got to think, am I catching this in my main body of water that I'm going to be fishing for the next 50 years, you know? So take that into consideration.
Unless you're fishing with trout lines, which is a whole nother, you know, I don't compare that to rod and reel. And I'm not going to brag about a fish I catch on a trout line. But if you're using trout lines, you know, most of the time it's for like your one fish for the freezer. You've got something going on.
Right, or bank lines.
Yeah,
bank poles are fun in the spring when the water's coming up.
Yeah.
A good flathead bite on a bank pole. That's good childhood memories that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling up and seeing the rod bending over. And
oh, yeah.
When you're throwing them back, mm-hmm. you're throwing them back so you can catch them again.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a big body of water, so the odds are pretty slim.
Probably not going to catch a saint fish again. But it's lot easier.
If everybody has that thought, though, you know, that's how you can maintain it without them putting regulations on it, as if you somewhat do it yourself. Not to mention, you're not going to catch a lot of respect from the higher-level fishermen taking a picture of a 50-pound fish at your tailgate so much as
right.
if you're
already
releasing
dead.
It back into
already
the water.
Right,
and,
I get that.
And cleaning a big fish sucks compared to cleaning 5 littler fish you can get a good grip on, you know.
Yeah. Well, I fished in Guatemala with gentleman's fish camp. His name's David Salazar.
That's for your 40th, right?
Yeah.
I was supposed to go with that.
And the We were catching billfish, so sailfish.
Yes.
Caught a nice marlin, and then anything that we caught that was a billfish, we threw back. Now he's got a nice little corner in the market where, for whatever barriers to entry, there's not a whole lot of waterways going out to the Pacific in Guatemala. So he kind of corners the market there, but then whatever barriers to entry, I mean, the guy's got like 10 yachts that go out fishing every day.
Right.
It's a beautiful place, but they threw everything back that was a billfish. And the amount of bites that they get and the amount of releases, they call it all releases, is just insane. Our boat in 2 days caught more billfish than a 50-boat billfishing tournament in the Gulf where they kept the fish. So to put that into perspective,
right?
You know, I'm a whitetail guy through and through, and we talk about whitetail management. But when you guys are out here, when the anglers are out there catfishing, yeah. and you're thinking about that type of management of a resource, and I guess the quest is to catch the biggest fish possible, right?
Mm-hmm. But it ain't gonna get bigger if you keep it,
right?
Absolutely, and take the small ones out. That makes room for bigger ones, which brings me to my next point.
The pond.
My mom has a pond. The one I brought up earlier was the first pond that I grew up fishing at, which is actually my stepdad's pond. We moved to Carrollton, got a new stepdad that came with a pond, right?
Yeah.
So I got a decent fishing pond. He could tell me as much as how to put a worm on a hook and cast it out with the bobber, so that was a good enough start. My dad was also, he was big on bluegill fishing, which is the first step to catfishing.
Right.
Catching a bluegill. So yeah.
Transform that into a catfish.
Absolutely.
Food chain.
That's exactly. Right. And so that pond has, we built a bigger one next to it. That pond has now become all stunt growth fish, and it has been for the past several years. And this spring, the water's come up more than it has since 2019, I believe. So it was actually a good year of fishing as far as the water coming up in the spring. And
for inland ponds and stuff like that, the amount of water.
Or the river, everything.
Well, just water coming up, period.
Yeah, we got a ton this spring of flash flooding.
Yeah, yes. As soon as that water starts going down, the fishing's going to go plummet as well.
With that pond, though, my small pond, with all the stunt growth fish, a good chunk of the fish got washed out on that. And first, I realized we lost quite a few fish, so I was like, well, dang, but here we are. We go fishing today, and they're all that much bigger, and that was only 3 months ago. And, I mean, getting rid of that many fish has allowed much bigger, you know, the ones that are in there to grow a lot more significantly over the past few months. And then you told me.
I noticed that on our farm pond. That's how the conversation started, yeah. The
overstock is the thing.
The fish have been so small in the pond on the farm we live, and
it was just like my pond. You throw a worm out, 10 of them go for the same bait. You know, I mean, just
and they're the size of your thumb.
Starving
because they can't get any bigger because it's just overpopulated.
And I mean, I catch them off just a hook with no bait. Like they just are starving in there, and then this flood water washed a bunch out, and here we are. These fish have grown because I'm imagining there's more food available because there's less fish what got washed out with the floods.
Right, not as many fish taking up resources.
Yeah.
Right. It's
all sorts of stuff in there now.
Yeah, primo bait is very important because, I mean, you can go, when it comes to blue cats, they say shad is kind of primary bait. And then when it comes to flathead, bluegill, they say bullhead. You know, obviously you can catch either fish on either, but if you're talking about, you know, flathead love their live bait. And when, you know, you can't keep a shad alive. So you got to go with the bluegill. You got to go with the green sunfish. Something a little tougher. And they'll stay alive for you. And that's what the flathead tend to go for. And when blue cats, I would say more shad, more cut bait than live bait. But, you know, big live bait, though, is what you got to go with. There's so many people. Like, I follow these Facebook groups, and these people are putting on their garlic jello chicken recipes. Yeah. And, you know, or their garlic, you know, jello
chicken,
or, you know,
jello
shrimp, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, if you can't go get cut bait or live bait, get chicken or something. Leave yourself all the Kool-Aid stains. Don't do that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But shrimp or chicken will work if you're trying to fish and you're hard up for bait. But do yourself a favor and catch some bluegill or some type of live or cut bait. That's how you're going to catch some serious fish, you know.
Honestly, on those flatheads for the bait, those green little sunfish, little rock bass
deals.
Those
are money.
That is the best because they'll stay, like, you can put a hook through them, fish all night. And I feel like if you get a big enough one, it might just whip that catfish's butt and like just pull it in with you when you reel in the bait. Like, those things stay alive forever. Yeah. You'd pull the hook out, put them back in the bait tank for the next time, and he's still ready to rock for the next go.
Yeah, you'll gain a little respect for them green sunfish after all them bluegill are dead, and he's the last one standing.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Bait. You know what? Bait fishing's... I have just as much fun bait fishing sometimes as I do just, you know, for the catfish.
That's a sport in itself right there, catching the bait, you know.
So, speaking of, the same spot that we were just talking about fishing the other day where Kyle caught that big flathead, we were bait fishing that one morning, and we were catching, yeah, like we were catching these goldeneye off a bobber and minnow.
Yeah.
And these things weren't... I've never caught them. Maybe I'd in a cast one, net back in the day if it was the... But nothing like the what we were catching. We were catching 12, 14-inch goldeneye. Like I said, I've never been around them, so I got to take the first hook out, and I put my thumb in its mouth, and immediately was like, nope, bad idea. You know, they're tiny. You know, they're not... You know, I probably could have held it with the thumb. It wouldn't have had a great time, but it wouldn't have been probably shredded. But yeah, I just never... I've never caught them. Right. And that was neat. It was just...
Oh, and that's the thing about the river is you never know what you're going to catch.
Never know.
Because we do go for big catfish, of course. But whenever you see some running water, you know...
Some kind of current.
Some kind of current. Nice little chute, a creek entrance or something. It's like, ooh, maybe we'll throw some jigs there and see what kind of... other river species you can get between hybrids, white bass, striper.
Yeah, because you never know unless you try.
Like, and you can always use that as bait.
Exactly. Yeah. You catch something small enough. Anything live, you know, they'll like. I just recently went down to actually a mile down the road in the pump house, right where it shoots into the river, makes a pit. And I recently tackled that, and we caught 21 striper in one day, and I've never caught a striper in my life. I'm not, you know, I'll make fun of people who bass fish, like, just because it's fun. Just because it's fun to make fun, because we're like, all catfish don't have any interest in bass fishing.
Yeah,
I was down there,
get excited over a 2-pound fish.
Right, right. and you know, I don't have anything against, because I mean, I had a little taste of it. It was hot. It was really hot, and luckily, there's a shade on the side of this pit. But I mean, we were casting out. And first, we were throwing the cast net, catching a bunch of shad, throwing them out, catching the striper on them. But we kept running out of shad because we kept catching so many. Like, crap. We weren't able to catch shad after a certain point and just started throwing out swim baits on, like, a big jig head. I'm not going to say I had fun catching bass, but it was nice.
It was neat.
It was neat. I didn't get to drink near as much beer as I usually do when I go out there.
They were striped bass, right?
Yeah, stripers.
That's way different than a largemouth bass.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't regular bass fishing. Unfortunately, there was bycatch where I did catch some largemouths.
Old ditch pickle. green.
But technically, I was after the stripers. And ended up catching a couple of real nice crappie, too. It was a dogfish, a drum. It was, like, see, yeah. Five different fish, same lure, in like an hour and a half. You never know what you're gonna pull out of there.
Oh, for sure. That's
dogfish definitely threw me for a loop.
I think in 2020 I started watching, because you need to watch some YouTubers. You know, anytime that you're taking on a hobby, you can always learn something from a good YouTube channel.
Oh yeah.
Despite what people think, you know. My grandpa taught me, and he don't know how to fish. Get on YouTube and look it up. A professional will show you how to do it. Someone who spends a living doing it will teach you how to do it. And the guy that I kind of hung on to early was the catfish and carp guy. But he's from over in Virginia. And now he's got a channel called Outdoor Boys. And it's like the biggest... He's like the highest paid YouTuber.
That dude's awesome.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's awesome. But he would just pull fish after fish out and make it look so easy. And he'd explain. He's an attorney. He's a big nerd is what he is. But he'd explain it great, you know. And he was real good with his content. He was ahead of his time on the content. So he's living big now. But I started following Spencer from River Certified, because he's from Iowa. So he's a little bit closer to us. So I can follow him with the seasons and the patterns and everything. He, you know, if he's in the creeks in a kayak, get your kayak, you know.
Steve Douglas, right?
Steve Douglas, he knows what he's
Tennessee
doing.
Tennessee River guy.
Yeah, he's down in Tennessee.
He hammers.
He's a little further south than us, but, you know, same.
Right.
And, yeah, we'll find someone to watch on YouTube, you know, and they'll show you how to tie your rigs. They'll tell you all the stuff, and you're gonna suck the first several times you do it, you know, like anything.
But there's reps, always luck.
You know.
You get lucky.
And there's beginner's luck. That's a real thing.
That is a thing. It's definitely a thing.
Or take my brother with you.
Yeah, or Blueski.
Well, he'll just catch the fish. He ain't going to help you catch, you know. He's not a luck charm. He's just lucky.
Yeah. He is the luck. He doesn't produce you any luck. I think he sucks the luck out of you.
Oh, man.
The more people he's around, I think the luckier he is.
All right. Well, I'll just take him again or not. Either way.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Biggest flathead I ever caught, I was fishing kind of down by Campsville, just a little north. There's that pump house that comes out. And I was in 5 foot of water. It's funny how you go to the bank and you cast out, but if you're on a boat, cast right to the bank, you know? So I was in literally 5 foot of water, me and my buddy Carlock. We were out fishing, and we were alternating, you know, this fish. You reel, this is before I had, like, my big rod set up. This is in my, like, I was learning. Mm-hmm. And, so we're sitting there, and gar bites. You know, we were just, it's a gar. It's got another gar, because...
You know a gar.
If you fish in the river, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, it's annoying. You don't want to know what I'm talking about.
It's like someone's picking on the string like it's a guitar pick. Like,
right.
Pick, 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 and that's their teeth.
Right, just enough. Anyway, so we were sitting there, and this thing was doing its thing. And what it was doing, that if he was just chewing on it. He was sitting there, stationary, with that fish in his mouth. And every now and again, he'd make a little movement and then do the end of the rod. And that's why I was like, gar bite. Because that's what gar do. They go and they pick at it.
It's hard to tell a flathead playing with it.
Pick at it. You know what? I think it might have been Carlock's turn. Because we weren't having that much success. So I think we caught a couple, like, 5-7 pound channels or something. And I think it was his turn. But I was just I was sitting closer. And he said,
go ahead. And
yeah, he's like, you want this one? He's like, it's gar bites. I reeled in. Big old flathead. And
I remember when you caught that one.
Yeah, I can't remember what it weighed. I think it was 27. And 5 foot of water. But I was casted straight back, so I can only assume that, you know, going parallel with the river.
Were you guys up in Beardstown?
No, I was at Campsville.
Oh, it was at Campsville.
We did fish every other time we fished was up in Beardstown. Yeah, we'd go like 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I wasn't drinking after a while I was fishing because I had a 45-minute drive home.
Right.
But
that's
he was
the hard
in Chandlerville.
Part of catfishing is not getting too drunk to drive home.
Right. And he was in Chandlerville, so we'd meet there. And, oh, man, we always had success. Up there, it was
I went with you guys twice.
Yeah, it's where the salmon came in.
We had
a
great day. Yeah,
we hammered him. That's when I first got introduced to big fishing.
Carlock knew how to fish that next level, kind of. And
Yeah,
we kind of got hooked up with him, and that was nice. That kind of helped take us. Yeah, he's good. Well, he went to school to be like a wildlife biologist, though, so he knows all that nerd talk and stuff.
Yeah. He is the man, though. Yeah. It was funny. So me and him went down to the Ozarks one time. And so we have same first name, Levi.
No.
And my family friend had some stuff in a shed, some fishing poles that he wanted me to have. And so me and him go over there, and he had two sheds right next to each other. And I go in the shed that's unlocked, and they're in the other shed. So after I search this shed, they're not in here. So I go in this other shed. Both of them are unlocked. But I go into that one, and there's this silent alarm that we didn't know about. So I go get the poles, and it's like 8 or 9 of them that are just in the corner. I'm just doing it to get them out of her way. And we get outside, and there's a sheriff sitting out there. And I go up and talk to him, and he tries to call D, which is the one who owned both of the sheds, and I'm telling him, that, oh, it's, you know, it's a family friend, and he was being cool about it. Well, what was funny is our birthdays are a day away, so we got our licenses to drive very close to each other. We're like eight numbers apart. His was the 7th, so he got his the 7th, and I got mine the next day, which was the 8th. And we have, like, the same color shirt on. This, like, it's almost, he thought they were fake for a minute.
You're both Levi.
Both Levi. Both say, like, a similar, very similar color shirt, like, eight numbers off on the driver's license number. And
he was very suspicious.
Never got a hold of D, so we were sitting there for, like, 10 minutes, and then eventually, like, this is all I had. There's two sheds there. All I had was some fishing poles. Obviously, I'm not trying to do anything illegal and steal, but he took it, and then me and Carlock kind of sat over and talked for a little bit, and eventually, well, 15 minutes later, he's like, you guys are fine. I don't worry about getting a hold of D. It's fine. he's never seen that so close to each other.
This was just a weird experience.
Yeah. Fishing.
He's like, he's got them both next to each other, looking at this one, then looking at that one, then looking at this one. It was funny.
I love it. Well, guys, we are, I don't know how it goes so fast. We're running out of time here. I want to let the listeners know, if you want to follow these guys on social medias, Kyle, how do you...
You can follow my Instagram. I'm usually posting big fish we catch on there, and on my stories and stuff. It'd be the_KyleNewhouse. That's it.
All right. And Moose.
Basically, yeah, Snapchat and... You type in animal warfare, it gets you there. But if, for sure, just Death Central with the number one behind it, and that'll get you.
Yeah.
And I'm always...
I think you come up on mine as Ad Legend Outdoors.
Yeah, it could be. I don't even know. I guess it's for some, it's Animal Warfare. For some, it's Ad Legend. I don't know. Death Central one will get you there, though.
And if any of you listeners have questions, comments... disagree with a bait selection, anything like that, because catfishing, this is a big deal around here. You can call the listener line at 618-639-4567.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Really look forward to the next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes, let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, that's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. Black coffee.